Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us now, talks baseball, less than a month away from pitchers and catchers. Hopefully the 2021 and Major League Baseball season will start on time. You know, fingers crossed for that. He's an Oriole Hall of Famer. Let's welcome back to the show. He is Mike Bordig. Mike, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us as always.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love me some Rob Zombie, man. That's some good stuff right there.
A little way. It's More Human Than Human, if I'm not mistaken, was the name of that song. But first of all, Mike, we'll start out by saying, you know, we enjoy you en masse, and we enjoyed you certainly part of our station here, 105.7 The Fan, doing the Oriole game. So, you know, bummer that you're not there. And, you know, we wish you best of luck in, you know, the next phase of your broadcasting career. But rest assured, you're welcome here for free. Anytime you want to join us here on Vinny and Haney, 105.7.
Thank you so much. No, I always enjoy my time on here. And just a quick plug. Yeah. I know, you know, this is a tough time for so many people, and especially in our industry. So, you know, I appreciate concerns for me, but there are so many others that, you know, still haven't heard about their fate, what potentially is going to be happening this year. I think it's been an unfortunate and trying year, right, for so many people around the world. And here in our baseball world, it's tough times right now. So the hope is that we can bounce out of this. And I'm still optimistic that one day I'll be back in there calling some good Oriole games down the road. So, yeah, I think it's just going to be a process for us all to kind of dig ourselves out of the situation.
Now, Mike, as we look at the Orioles, and you've been covering them for years, and this will be year three of the rebuild with Mike Elias, Brandon Hyde, Sig Meidel, and the rest of that crew. What have you noticed that is the fan should be optimistic about? Because the rebuild's still going to take some time in a very difficult division, and you know, obviously the Orioles are a little bit cash strapped right now. But what's to look forward to with the rebuild, and where might things still be a little sketchy in regards to, you know, getting yourselves back into playoff contention ultimately?
Well, I think the most positive and uplifting thing right now for the Orioles is the fact that the international market has grown. They made some really big signings this offseason, and they continue to get high draft picks, so the minor leagues is continuing to strengthen. So I think as far as our prospect situation goes, we're getting better and better. That is the ultimate goal for, I think, most, if not all, true rebuilds, is to strengthen the minor league system and have enough of a foundation where you could potentially start pulling the plug on some trades to land some free agents to really get your big league team competitive fast. Now, that being said, there hasn't been any kind of rebuild at the big league level. The rebuild is strong and continues to grow at the minor league level, but it's still more of a breakdown at the major league level just to try to clear house. I think the positive news is that last year, a couple of the young prospects got a taste of the big leagues, so that should help them kind of settle in this year if they're indeed part of this this season. And I think a lot of people are kind of putting a lot of weight on their shoulders. Can they be that right now they're looking for the building blocks in the big leagues? Who to actually build around so that when they make this push of young players to get up to the big leagues, boom, then they can strike the free agent market. And I think the hope is that when they actually start becoming more aggressive, that it happens fast. You know, I would think they've been able to stockpile enough young talent. They're going to get a long enough look this year and into next year at some of these younger guys they can call up. And then it's got to be all hands on deck. Let's go.
Mike, what do you anticipate for this season?
As far as wins and losses?
Let me rephrase it. What would you consider a successful season for the Orioles this year?
That none of their young pitchers get hurt, to be honest with you. I'm always concerned about depth in an organization. The Orioles are not going to be competitive. We all know that. And I know that Brandon Hyde and his coaching staff and some of these guys like Trey Mancini, they don't want to hear that stuff. They're still going to go out there and bust their butt and try to compete. But, you know, we know that they're just not going to be able to. Yankees continue to get stronger. Red Sox starting to make some moves. The Tampa's right there. Blue Jays are strong as well. This division is really as strong as it's been in a long time. And unfortunately, the Orioles just don't have enough. What I worry about is the fact that if they have to start going down into the minor leagues and pulling up some of their young pitching prospects and putting them in situations that they're not ready for. I just hate to see one of their young arms get hurt, you know, just because they don't have enough. So I suspect that they're just going to scour the free agent market and try to land as many pitchers as they can. I'm not saying, you know, the blue chippers. I'm saying guys like Tommy Malone, maybe they can land another one there, you know, LeBlanc, things like that. Guys that either on the end or questionable, but definitely able to save money.
So, Mike, what do you think for like Mancini this year? You know, coming back from, you know, what he had to go through all offseason and stuff. What would be, in your opinion, what would be like a good year for him? Or do you see him as, you know, the season goes, he keeps getting better? And what position do you see him playing?
Boy, that's a good question. I would love for Trey to be the all-time first baseman. Stick him right there and let him go. And I think Trey's going to have a great year. You know, I really do. Nobody, first of all, is going to work harder than Trey Mancini to get himself back to where he was. And he's probably pretty close once they gave him the green light to start baseball activities. Look out, man. I've seen him go about his business. And he wants to get back and will be right back to where he was. There may be some timing issues early, but I don't think it's going to be long. And I think Trey is probably going to be right back to his all-star caliber form. You know, I just think he's got so much going for him with this extra incentive, I think, on life, and probably his outlook is just going to carry him over the top, and he'll be outstanding. Now, my fear is that he's so outstanding that all of a sudden his trade value goes up and up and up, you know, and he's one of those guys that we're all hoping, let's build it around Trey. But is it too early for that? That's the question. And if all of a sudden Trey gets out and he is knocking the cover off the ball like we all expect and hitting homers, his stock's going up, and we've already seen it. You know, that if there are prospects to be had, I would think Elias is going to go after if it's good enough, for sure.
Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick joining us, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We had Brandon Hyde on last week, Mike, and entering year three as his tenure as Orioles manager, and you talk about the rebuild, which, you know, the Orioles are still, you know, they're looking up at four teams in their own division. You can't judge him on wins and losses, that's obvious, but how do you judge a Brandon Hyde if you're Mike Elias, as a guy that, you know, once the talent starts to elevate and Hall and Rodriguez or in Rutschman or in air or everything they're expected to be, how does Brandon Hyde fit into that? How do you judge him as a guy that not only handled the rebuild, but is the right guy to take it to the next step?
Yeah. Well, I think Brandon's got an inside edge. He's worked with Elias. They seem to have a pretty good working relationship. I don't know that Brandon was brought in for his analytic expertise, but I know for a fact that just from managing in the big leagues now, you have to be somewhat astute at it. So he's learned that along the way. But I think what Brandon has got to be judged on, and what all big league managers should be judged on, is he making the players that are put in front of him better? And I think every guy that's come out of this organization that Brandon Hyde had a chance to, you know, to touch and coach and be a part of has gotten better. I mean, really, I've been so impressed with how he communicates with these young guys. They rally around him. He gets these guys together. We've seen spurts of brilliance from his players. They're just not enough talent, unfortunately. And I hope they give him a chance to lead this team on, because he's gaining more and more experience at this level. He has great organizational skills, and he communicates incredibly well with this younger generation of players.
Mike, before we let you roll real quick, last week two Hall of Famers passed away, Hank Aaron and Don Sutton. And we're all, me, you, and Vinny are all around the same age, so we all grew up watching both of them. Oh, as a baseball player and certainly as a fan growing up, what did Don Sutton and Hank Aaron mean to Mike Porter?
Well, they were, you know, my childhood, right? I mean, my gosh, when I was a kid and my family, we traveled around a lot because my dad was in the Air Force. But there was one point where we were in upstate New York, and it seemed like the Dodgers and the Yankees were on all the time. So Sutton just became kind of part of my Dodger mystique. You know, I loved them all. Hank Aaron was embedded as part of my backyard wiffle ball games whenever I swung. If you hit a home run, at least for me as a kid, it wasn't Babe Ruth. It was Hank Aaron that was the home run hitter, the king. And that's what was so exciting. And it just, all these incredible legends that have unfortunately passed over this past, my gosh, 6 months, it's just tears my childhood apart. I mean, it really does. It sends me back in time. Obviously, incredible memories. But these were the guys that I looked at. I looked up to, tried to emulate. I had a Lou Brock poster in my wall. You know, Hank Aaron was my home run hitter if I was outside hitting homers that day. Sutton was part of my Dodger Blue Magic. And, you know, to lose so many of them, and especially last week, those two greats, you know, it kind of makes us all reflect, I think, in both positive ways. And then to think, boy, how short it really is. So, to really, enjoy every day and every minute we have these incredible people on this earth.
Well said, Mike Portick. Mike Portick, Oriole Hall of Famer, joining us, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Mike, we appreciate the time as always. We'll be talking to you a lot since we're getting closer and closer to spring training. And hopefully we get a $1.62 uninterrupted. But, you know, who knows? Only time will tell there.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.